good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and your captain is up in the captain's chair on the in the Gene Bosch studio on the magical Isle of Vashon. And somehow or other, I leaned into a switch that gave us a short break, a short gap in Semper Paratus. That does not mean that there is a gap in its enthusiasm or its validity. It means that your captain made the first mistake for this quarter, and I allow myself only one mistake each quarter, and therefore I have now used it up. I have had so many good things happen to me in this last week, so many happy things, that they are of an equal with the two unhappy things that I have to report. And so we will get to that. But my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who are grieving in one way or another. If you have lost someone close to you soon, later, or recently, or if you are remembering someone who left before their time, or if there is someone in your life that you are remembering now who left us and crossed their bar a long time ago. This particular set of greetings goes out to you today. And I will be talking about my particular grieving in the binnacle list section. So let's move to the binnacle list, and then we can move on to the things which are the happy things, because that is in keeping with our mission on this broadcast, which is to make all of us who give me half an hour of your time each Tuesday afternoon to be a part of making you feel just a little bit better about the world, yourself, and about the world in which we live. The binnacle list today is a sad one for me because yesterday, my friend Jim of my Annapolis family crossed his own bar. I had talked to his family on Sunday, and during that conversation, it became clear to me that he was on his last voyage. But I did not think that voyage would end quite so quickly. And yesterday, I had a signal from the family by way of my son telling me that Jim had indeed crossed his own bar. It was an easy crossing in the sense that he was in the care of hospice and he was surrounded by his family. And my feeling that I should have been there was and is complete. And yet at the same time, I had said to his family that I needed to deal with my own and personal situation so that I would be able to continue to function as your captain in the captain's chair. And we all agreed that this was the right assignment of priorities. One of the things that I had done with Jim was when I had seen him a few months ago, I felt that it would be a good thing for him to get out of the house and do some hiking and some physical activity. And so I went to one of the companies that I use that I particularly like, and it is a company called Brazos, B-R-A-Z-O-S, Bravo Romeo Alpha Zulu Oscar Sierra, Brazos walking sticks. And I had a walking stick made for him out of Eastern Oak. I had his name engraved in the stick, and I had the Air Force seal put in it. Alas, he was not able to use it very much. But now that walking stick will devolve onto the next generation, with whom I am also very, very close. Jim and his late wife, Sharon, were among the very first friends that Mary R. gave to me, among the many gifts that she gave to me over the years that we had together. Sharon is now gone. Jim is now gone. It is always very difficult to lose a parent, and in this case, this family is losing both parents within a year. As soon as I get my schedule sorted out with the Swedish Cancer Institute, I will also figure out what sort of either services or memorials are going to be held for Jim. And I will, if at all possible, through the treatment plan, make a journey to Annapolis and be a part of whatever those ceremonies are. Both Jim and Sharon were friends of the friends of family rank. I love them both. The family is very close to me. I am very close to that family. And my feelings of both sadness that they are both gone and a special sadness that I was not able to be there at the end. But the fact that they were all together and that it was, I believe, an easy crossing is warming to the cockles of your captain's black heart. In my own case, the difficult part is that I am having trouble with the administrative end of getting my treatment plan started. I have now created a group of Captain Joe's people within the hidden areas of the Swedish Cancer Institute, people who do the scheduling, people who are often not recognized for their importance. I recognize them. I recognize and honor the newest sailor that comes into my command, the newest fireman who is going to be cleaning out the intakes to the bilge pump system, the newest seaman who is going to be the captain of the head, because all those tasks have to be completed. And they fall upon the newest and youngest members of ship's company. So I am particularly sensitive to those people, and I have found a couple of them who schedule for their physicians. And they are becoming part of Captain Joe's people. But in the meantime, today is Tuesday of the last week of the month of July. And I still do not have a schedule for meeting with the two oncologists with whom I need to meet. And I still do not have any schedule for the beginning of the treatment plan. And in the meantime, the tumor, which is at the base of my throat, is beginning to make itself felt more enthusiastically. So we need to get on with this, and I am inserting myself in that whole process. That should not be a surprise to any of you, especially any of you who have sailed with me, served with me, know, or who are Captain Joe's people from the island. You all know how I work. And that's enough of the binnacle list for today. Now let's get to the happy things that happened to me over the week. I've just come from a birthday celebration for one of the friends that became my friend when Mary and I first moved onto the island, Yvonne. Today, Yvonne is 100 years old. And there was a big celebration, and it's still going on today, right this very minute. I'll bet if I went out there at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 1500 this afternoon, there would still be revelers. And I would not be surprised if Yvonne was still sitting in the place of honor at the table in the middle of this celebration. they decided to have it out at Mukai Gardens. And Mukai Gardens is especially important to island people because it is the site of the Mukai family, Americans of Japanese ancestry who were interned in Idaho during World War II. An island organization now owns Mukai Gardens as a 501c3. They have reproduced or reconstructed the gardens and the house and some of the outbuildings. And they have done this through an enormous amount of political, administrative, and even operational adversity. Yvonne was very much a part of that. And in being a part of that, she also was instrumental in making some really good things happen. It should be no surprise to all of Captain Joe's people who are listening to me today that I seized upon the opportunity to make remarks which I had promised would be short and pithy, but turned out to be not quite so short, but pithy. Because I had quite a bit to say about contributions that Yvonne and people connected to her, of whom I happen to be one, have made to island life. It was a great day. It was and continues to be this very minute a great day. Happy birthday, my dear. You honor me by your friendship and by some private remarks that came between the two of us. On Saturday, I need to take a short break here to have a swallow of a restorative fluid because I'm still not talking nonstop yet. Okay, here we go. So on Saturday, I had been asked, in fact, I had been told by Yvonne that her grandson was getting married out at Point Robinson, and she just told it to me, but I seized on this as a possibility that maybe I could do something for the happy couple. And since it was being held at Point Robinson, one of the things that I could do was to open the lighthouse and be available for tours for the wedding party. And I was fully prepared to do that, but not too long before that was to happen, I had a message from a couple who have worked with me on Low Tide Celebration and a number of other things for the good of the island community. And they said that their daughter was engaged, had been engaged out at Point Robinson, and could I give them a tour at the lighthouse? And of course, when friends in particular ask me for something that I am able to provide, I was delighted to be able to do it. On Saturday, therefore, I had the lighthouse open for Aaron and Doug and their children and their friends. And then right at the appointed hour, I then reopened the lighthouse for the wedding party. I'd been invited to participate in the dinner that came as part of the reception. And I was honored with not only a place with a place marker, but the place markers were napkins that had been embroidered by one of the wedding party. It was a glorious, glorious day. I got to the end of it a little bit trailing the hawser just a little bit. The catenary was a little bit slack. But I got to the end of the day feeling pretty smug and proud of myself that I had fulfilled all of the commitments of friendship that I had made. The next day was a day that I had agreed that I would try to do the tours out at Point Robinson Lighthouse. A friend and colleague had been doing them for me while I worked through the initial stages of my relationship with the Swedish Cancer Institute. But I was feeling really well, and I decided that I would give it a try. So I went out. I took with me a large Bubba jug of restorative fluid and opened up the lighthouse and immediately was surrounded by dogs, children, grandparents who had their children or grandchildren with them, and it was just another glorious day. And while I was going through the tours, and I every so often make a head call. Actually, it's a sanitation inspection of the portable toilets, heads, that we have out at Point Robinson. And out on the middle of the lighthouse meadow was a pair of canopies that had been set up, and there were clearly a group of people that were having some sort of a celebration. And so I went out to thank them for having their celebration at Point Robinson, for using Point Robinson in the way that I, in particular, always wanted to be used, as a place of celebration, of remembrance, if it be that sort of an event. But whatever it was, I wanted to make sure that they knew that I, in particular, appreciated it, and that if any of them wanted to come into the lighthouse and listen to me pontificate, that they would be most welcome. When I got out there, though, I realized that this was a celebration for the life of another old friend on the island. And I had not known that this was going to take place on Sunday because I am now 6 weeks behind in my reading of the Beachcomber newspaper. If I had read last week's newspaper, I would have seen that there was an announcement therein of a celebration of Keith's life. But once I realized that it was a celebration for another friend that goes all the way back to the beginning of my time here on the magical Isle of Vashon, I said, may I sit down with you for a few minutes? I don't stand as long as I used to be able to back in the days of seagoing. May I sit down with you and may I tell one or two stories about Keith? And I was welcome. And I told those stories. So here are 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, full of happy events. And parked in the back of my mind was the knowledge that my friend Jim was on his last voyage, but I knew not until yesterday that he had crossed his own bar. I tell you all of these things, most of you who have been with me a long time, when one way or another, know that I tell these stories because, first of all, I want everybody to realize that each one of you out there has a network of your own people, and that your personal attention to them in whatever way is appropriate and works for you, parenthetical insertion here, what works for me is constant chatter and pontification from the captain's chair, end of parentheses. Whatever is the way that you communicate with the people that you love, and you feel, now that you are listening to my stories today, you feel that maybe you this would be a good time for you to make that phone call, or even better, hitch up, start up the 40-footer make your way across your particular piece of water and go and visit those people for whom you are responsible and accountable and you love. So a couple of other things have happened. One of them came to me yesterday evening. I have been on the board of the Washington Poison Center, I realize now, for a year or for a term. I did not realize that my term had come to an end because this has been one of the happiest relationships that I have had in my life. The head of the Washington Poison Center, my neighbor, my friend, my colleague, the dear and good doctor next door, had asked me at the beginning of my term if I would consider coming on the board, and I believe that I said something to him like this. I am not a physician, as you well know. I am not a doctor of pharmacy, as you well know. In fact, I'm not a doctor of anything. And I do not share the skills that all of you have worked so hard to earn, nor the experience which you have accumulated over many years. And he came back to me and he said something like this, well, Captain Joe, I actually want you to be a part of this because maybe some of your experiences, although they are different from ours, might be useful. And so I agreed. In particular, my interests have been with the saving of lives of young children who would be, through the efforts of Mr. Yuck, prevented from sampling things that look like candy but really are something else. The giving out of stickers, the giving out of magnets, and the telling of stories about the bad things that can happen if you do not follow the instructions of your parents. So I continued, and then I was asked to chair a committee, and I have done that. I have not always fulfilled the requirements of these two assignments as well as I should. I know that. But on the other hand, we have had some successes. And with the leadership of the dear and good doctor, he, as the head of the Washington Poison Center, has had many successes. So yesterday I had a letter from him. It was couched in his usual clear and lovely style, and it asked me if I would consider serving for another term. I replied in like fashion and said that, first of all, he and the board have done me great honor by asking me to serve for the first term, and that even more honor attaches to the request that I serve for a second. So I have agreed to do that. And I am announcing hereon that the parts of my life which have to do with service on boards and committees may be altered for just a little bit, for a little bit of time. But we will come out stronger at the end of that, I'm confident. And we will continue to serve in whatever way we can and the best that we can. And for that, my dear and good doctor, and for the board, I am enormously grateful. So the Healy. I have a few minutes to talk about Healy, Coast Guard Cutter Healy. I am, of course, her sea daddy, and the decision about the kind of propulsion system that he had, that decision was mine when I was the ice boss for that great gentleman of our service. The commandant at that time was Admiral Jim Gracie. And Admiral Gracie and I retired in the same year at the same time. And I had told him at the time of his retirement and mine that the time was then, now, that we begin the planning for the replacement icebreaker fleet, of which Healy, we did not then know her name, but of which Healy was the first part. Admiral Gracie said, "Captain Joe, I am retiring. You're retiring." And I said, "That's true, Admiral, but you can pass the word on to your relief, as will I to mine." Alas, those words were not completely heeded, and so here we are. And here we are now with Healy having ended up with a serious engineering casualty and having been towed. Towed back to her home port of Seattle. In the piece that I wrote about this for the Coast Guard Channel, I said that if she had been under my command, that we would have rigged sails and that we would have put out oars with me as the stroke rather than submitting to the humility of being towed in. From that, I received several comments from the engineers. It'd be enough to say that whatever is going to happen with her, I will be following it closely. And I, not only will I be following it closely, but I will be following it critically, because she is still one of my ships. I did not command her, but I helped design her. And the way that she was designed is in fulfillment of the best engineering practice. And now the clock, which is attached to the screen in front of me, is telling me that I have run over just a little bit with a couple of things yet to say, so they will wait until next week. This is, as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. This is your Captain Joe. I am up in the captain's chair. All of you are in the palm of my hand. And I am on station and watching properly.
This program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Hey, on this kind of little overcast, cloudy Tuesday afternoon, it looks as though we might get a few sprinkles, which is not a bad break from some of the heat we've had lately. Tom Walston here with you today on Adventures in Recovery on KVSH LP Vashon, the voice of Vashon. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I've got a real interesting guest here today, and not this coming Friday, but a week from Friday is going to be First Friday here on the island, when there's always some really, really fun events going on. And when I say fun events, all the storefronts are out in front, and there's some good music around town. And today, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from a real interesting gentleman who I got to speak with last week. His name is Justin Anchetta, and he plays some pretty incredible music with somebody who is originally from Vashon, and her name is Maren Metke. And we're going to hear from them in just a minute. But actually, let me go ahead and see if I can bring up Justin right now. Justin, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How's it going, Tom?
Really good. Hey, folks, you know, you got to remember, you are down at Bandfest right now, right?
Well, we're actually going through Yakima right now, out to a family camp and then back up your guys' way.
So you talk about the life of a musician. You guys work your tails off and always on the road. You just got done with a real successful gig. Was that in Edmonds, did you say?
Yeah, we had a sold-out show in Edmonds, and then we played a Seattle Ecstatic Dance at Ohm Culture the following night, and both were very successful. Full house. It was great.
That is so awesome. And, you know, for those of you that, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're all in for a treat because I'm going to be playing some of their music. But I'll be perfectly honest. I had not heard of Honey of the Heart beforehand. I thought, you know, what a weird name for a band. I mean, that was my gut reaction. I thought, I need to do some homework. And I'll tell you what, the deeper I got, the more I learned about you guys, the more I understood the name of your group, because your songs are so connected to our spirit and to the heart and to, I mean, just good personal growth. You know, the planting the seeds, the making comparisons and looking at things we have alike instead of separate. And, you know, the more I learned about you guys, the more I really fell in love with your band. And, pretty cool. So I'm going to have you guys give us a little more history, and then we're going to go into, well, I've got a few songs queued up here, one from the Common Ground album, one from Shadow, and one from Digging Deep. So why don't you fill us in with a little bit more background?
Yeah, well, we've been... There's been a band for 12. And we started as a band and we turned into a family. Our daughter's now 8, tours with us, and my mother helps out with my daughter. It's been really a sweet trip to be able to come up here and celebrate community. And part of our lyrics is celebrating our differences. And one of the things that we've been building down in Northern California is a community based on empathy and music. And I feel like that's essentially what Honey of the Heart is, connecting us with.
Well, these guys are on the road.
As best we can.
There we go. We were kind of fading in and out here. And you got to remember, they're traveling with the band on the road. So if we get kind of a sketchy connection, that's why. These guys are taking time out of their busy schedule while they're driving. Pay attention to the road, guys. But I know you keep busy, and I'm going to treat everybody to a song right now. What do you think? I'm going to let you guys pick. Do you want It's a River, Shadow, or Digging Deep?
Let's try It's a River.
Let's do It's a River. Here we go. Come on.
It is fleeting, it is freeing, it is being like the way you move, embodied truth, source to soul, wild and smooth.
Hear what you're saying and all your
mountain, it's a fountain, it's in your mind, it's a dream. It's never ending, it is finite, nothing and everything. Make me glad to be alive, arrive, thrive, lift and
sound like the moon go round.
It's a rhythm.
Tread lightly with your fleeting belief.
It's a shadow.
The mystery will offer relief.
It's a where we come
shine
from.
Shine.
Desperation, it is a life force, it will bring you to your knees.
Here in the leaves now.
We let go a little every day.
Our natural beings are planting the seed.
And when we're dreaming, we're living.
You miss on love.
As long as we play,
it's formerly.
As long as we're away,
we're like those leaves.
As long as we're away,
resurfacing. It's a river, a rhythm. A shadow, a sheen. It's a feeling, it's fleeting. It's freeing, it's being. It's a temper, it's kindness. It's where we all come from. It's all magic, it's science. It's beating of the drum. It's an opus, it's madness. It's hope lost and found. It's danger, it's honest. It's
sanity and ground.
Hear one, we're saving this life.
It's a mountain, it's a fountain.
We rise up after the dark of
old. It's a masterpiece, it's a man.
You are the mountain, the regions overpowered.
It's never ending, it is finite.
At the end you can look out.
It is certain.
Talk about getting right into your soul and sending a message. That was incredible. What can you tell us about the inspiration that brought you to that song?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of what you said. I think our cell service is back in and out, but I just wanted to, It's a River. It was an older tune of ours that was inspired by the Yuba River, which is what a lot of our songs come from. And also Marin Medkey's lyrics. And yeah, it's been a joy to work over the years on songs like It's a River. We actually have a new song that just came out 3 weeks ago. Well, it's not out yet, but we're playing it live, and we'll go record it when we get back to our home studio. But we will feature it at our show at Vashon August 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. if you guys are in town.
I'll tell you more.
Both our River songs.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that. I'll tell you folks more about that, and you'll hear more music from Honey the Heart in just a minute. But I'm kind of curious. Well, first of all, the female vocalist in that last song was our very own Vashon's Maren Metke. How did you guys ever get up together?
Well, we had a mutual friend, Marlon Aldana, a drummer that came up from Mexico, and he was playing in Maren's band and my band. And then he realized that we should probably meet because we were we were both musicians that also communicated a certain way. And he's like, I think you guys would get along. And so we started performing together and recording together. And then about 6 months in, we decided to date. And then 4 years later, we decided to have our daughter, Juniper.
And you continue to make beautiful music together in more ways than one.
Yes, family music, community music. It's really sweet to see the vision of the music bringing people together. We have two different dance instructors living on our land now down in Northern California.
What?
So it's sweet. It's a mixture of somatic movement and music and how it's connecting the dots. It's working.
And ultimately, increasingly therapeutic. The title of my show here every Tuesday is Adventures in Recovery. And this genre, this music, these lyrics, these people fit right into that, because recovery is all about self-discovery. And the more I listen to Honey of the Heart, the more it makes sense that we all have a sweetness in our heart. The honey of the heart. And it's just rediscovering that and being able to cultivate that and nurture that. Would you say that's pretty right on, or?
Absolutely, Tom. Yeah, really. I mean, you say self-discovery. I think of it as self-connection. And we've actually had stories of conflicts with a neighbor, you know, at our previous rental in past years. And it was pretty bad, but we actually ended up going to court. They were saying lies about who we were and actually took our Facebook page down in an inappropriate way, or a lie kind of way. But what ended up happening was he actually came forward and mentioned that he was actually in recovery of a lot of past traumas, and that he started listening to our music and it started helping him.
Yes.
And we actually made this amicable exchange completely flip around. And it was such a heartwarming moment in life to realize how a disconnect can actually lead toward, you know, just understanding, wow, we don't know what we've all been through. Our paths, there's turmoil on it. And how can we just, you know, be with the hardships and, be there and support each other. So we were able to support him in some way, shape, or form through that. That felt really good.
Oh, Justin, thank you for saying that, because, you know, that discord is essential. It is essential because you need that to catapult you into something else.
So totally. Lots of people, are in a moment where they have a conflict inside themselves, and there's some expressed grief that might need to move through them, but they don't know how to get there or do it. And our hope and prayer is that our music can help pass this grief back into like this big gratitude and praise for life that is also there in that same form.
Yeah, and you're helping people walk through those fears.
I hope so.
No, I mean, that's what you do with what you're doing. So I'm gonna treat everybody to, we only have about 12 minutes left. I want to make sure people get another chance to hear some more music. So will you hang in there with us for just a little bit? And folks, in case you're wondering, you are going to be able to hear these guys live at Snapdragon first, not this coming Friday, but first Friday. And we're going to find out if there's tickets left and so forth and so on right after we hear from these guys doing their song Digging Deep. And boy, this has got a real strong message too, if I might add.
Thank you. sweet tears that I found.
Sweet tears, sweet tears.
Singing light,
singing light.
Shining brazen ground. I'm digging deep.
How lucky are we to have these guys coming to Vashon? You know, they're described as genre blending sound incorporating folk, soul, jazz, and world flamenco into rich harmonies, focusing on matters of the heart and aiming to inspire and uplift our listeners. Hey guys, are you here Thursday or Friday? Because I've got both dates on my copy.
Yeah, here. Well, it's August 7th. I believe it's a Friday. But we're hoping to get to Ireland early. We're hoping to stop around and meet all of Marin's friends and family. She was on Ireland for 30 years, and it's been almost two decades since she's been there. But every time we come up on Pacific Northwest Tour, Vashon is like a big family reunion. So hopefully all the folks that know Marin McKee from her previous school years or performing around the island, raising her son, Sam. Yeah, we're going to be coming back to see all of you.
Have you been to Snapdragon before?
Yeah, we performed there last year. I think the first time we played there was in 2014 or something.
What?
So it's changed quite a bit since then.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great venue for what you guys put out. I mean, you just kind of feel like you're a part of the actual facility, and then you hear your music, and you just kind of melt into it.
Thanks for saying that. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet venue, and we like the small town vibes, which Vashon has.
Do you know where we're at with ticket sales so far, Justin? Can people still get advanced tickets, and how do they do that?
Yeah, advanced tickets are at honeyoftheheart.com, and it's by donation. We don't expect to sell this show out, so you're welcome to come donate at the door. It's a sliding scale, so no one turned away for lack of funds. What really helps us out is if people donate, you know, grab some merchandise. We have some new merch, not only hoodies and hats, but also honey itself. It's this raw organic honey we've been cultivating herbs. It's been sitting in the sun and we've been steeping for 3 months. So we're really excited to share that with folks on the road. So far, we've sold out about half of that.
Oh, great. So cash, venue, plastic, what kind of payment do you accept?
We do cash, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle. We also do cards, but that's probably the hardest for us. So far we haven't had to use any card payment on this tour yet because so many people have, you know, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, and cash.
Well, I got to tell you, after people listening today, hopefully there'll be a big line to get in, and I hope to be there, hope to get to meet you guys personally. And after today's broadcast, all five people listening to this show will probably show up, but I so appreciate you guys spending the time to be with us on Adventures in Recovery. It's a real treat to have you, and I feel very lucky to be able to catch you guys while you're on the road. And real quick, what are your roots in Duluth? I was looking at your bio, and that's where I have roots.
Roots in Duluth?
Yeah, I wrote something about Duluth, Minnesota on this bio that I printed off your website.
Oh, interesting. I don't recall anything in Duluth, Minnesota in our bio. I should definitely double check that. Marin is born in Bend and then raised in Vashon, and I was born in California, raised in the Sierra Foothills of California.
But nice.
Yeah, Hawaii. That's where my family's from.
So when you guys go on tour, do you kind of tour around the country a little bit too?
We do. We stay mostly on the West Coast, but we've done a little East Coast. We've done Mexico, and we're hoping to get up over to Europe in the coming year.
Oh. Well, keep us posted. I'd love to have you on again anytime that you feel you need to get the word out to people. And we're going to close out with Shadow. How does that sound?
Awesome. Thanks so much, Simon. Yeah, this song is a direct song relating to self and self-connection. That is knowing that who's going to climb the mountain. And that probably your biggest ally is going to be yourself. You can always ask other friends and family, but just remembering that you can do the most for yourself. And hopefully this can help folks in recovery as well.
Wow. Keep sharing the message, my brother.
That's all.
All right. Happy trails and safe travels.
Take care.
But keeping